The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of the blessed Holy Trinity and the undivided unity, Amen. You know, in certain countries of the world that are predominated by other religions, what I just said could get me killed. And what you just sang could get you killed as well, because in that hymn, you confessed that God is three in one and one in three. Three persons in the one Godhead. The one Godhead consisting of three distinct persons. Three persons, one divine essence. In Muslim countries, that would be considered blasphemy, just as it was considered blasphemy by the Jews in today's gospel reading when Jesus claimed that he was Lord when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And I am is the name by which Yahweh, the Lord, revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus. Our entire service is Trinitarian. How do we begin the liturgy? With these words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In what name were you baptized? Not in just the name of some generic, one-size-fits-all, any God will do God. But rather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The doxological verses at the end of the hymns we sing, give glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We end the introit and the canticles with those words, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And then, once the liturgy is ended, and once we prepare to go our separate ways, the Trinitarian blessing is stated. It is pronounced over you. And what is that blessing? You know it very well. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We are a Trinitarian church. There are some churches that are surrendering this Trinitarian doctrine revealed in Scripture, confessed by the creeds, and certainly confessed in our Lutheran Book of Concord. You cannot do that, because by doing that, you lose God. You lose salvation. And again, today's gospel reading gives light upon this mystery of the Trinity, but most especially the mystery that Jesus Christ our Lord is not merely a man, although his humanity is certain and real, but this man is also Lord. This man is the God-man. Jesus had a controversy with the Jews throughout the Gospel of St. John, chapters 7 and 8. In the first of the chapter 8 in St. John's Gospel, we hear about the woman taken in adultery. They want to stone her, the Jews do, because she has been taken in the very act of adultery, so they bring her to Jesus. And they throw her down at his feet. They say to him, "What shall be done with this woman since she was caught in the very act of adultery?" Jesus bends over and traces with his finger, writing something in the sands. Then he looks at them and says, Let he of you who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he traces in the sand again. One by one, the men who want this woman's blood drop their stones and walk them away, leaving Jesus with this woman. Let he of you who is without sin cast the first stone. So Jesus gathers up those stones and he lets this woman have it. No, I see head shaking. Good. He who is without sin came to die for sinners. He who is without sin came to be stoned, you might say, for the sins of all the world, to suffer the penalty of death under his Father's judgment. He who is without sin came to be merciful. And so he says to this woman, "Woman, where are those who accuse you?" "They're gone, Lord," she says. And then with these words, he lifts her up and says, "Neither do I accuse you, neither do I condemn you. Go in peace and sin no more." The fact that Jesus' enemies wanted to stone this woman to death is bookended by the fact at the end of today's gospel reading, they want to stone Jesus. And what this points to is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The death of the Lamb of God, who by his death would take away the sins of all the world. The death of the Lamb who died for you, who does not condemn you, but lifts you up, cleans you off, sets you back on your feet, and sends you on your way. Again, the Jews did not like this. And by saying Jews, I mean the Jewish leaders, those who were in opposition to Jesus. Christ our Lord himself was a Jew. His first followers were Jews. We are Jews, you could say, children of Abraham, through faith in Christ. So the Jews answer Jesus, "Hey, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan, one of those renegade Jews, one of those mongrel Jews, and that you also have a demon?" They're dishonoring Jesus by saying this. They're saying that he is not one of God's people. They are saying that he is an agent of the devil. Now, in the Synoptic Gospels, when Jesus confronts a demon, the demon goes wild. The demon casts the person it possesses into a fit. If Jesus had a demon and were identified as having a demon, you would think he would go into a fit. But instead, he answers calmly, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." You dishonor me. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. The one who does not have the Son does not have the Father either. This is the testimony of Scripture. To know the one true God, to honor the one true God, you must first know and honor Jesus. And the way to honor Jesus is through faith in him. That faith is not something self-produced. We, Scripture says, are dead in trespass and sins. And dead people can do nothing but decompose. They cannot make any decision. They cannot get up and tap dance through the old soft shoe. They cannot go shopping at Walmart and pick up picnic supplies for tomorrow's Memorial Day. No, they can't do that. But the Catechism teaches us that although we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord God, the one whom the creeds confess is God himself, the Lord and giver of life, he enlightens us by the gospel. He sanctifies us with his gifts. He keeps us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. He brings us to the true knowledge of the one true God. He enables us to honor Jesus by claiming him as Lord, by hearing his word, by seeking through the grace of the gospel to follow him and keep his commandments and live a life pleasing to the Lord God, a life that shows forth the glory of God as we go about our daily vocations as the redeemed of Christ in this world. Jesus says, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. This is Memorial Day weekend, which we as a nation pay honor to those who served our country in the armed forces, and in particular those who gave up their life on behalf of our nation and for its defense. There on the back inner page of today's bulletin, you have a list of our veterans, all of our veterans, some who were killed in action, and those who served our nation's military. Now, they're there to be honored. You can show them honor by reading through their names. But what if I were to take this bulletin, this sheet, and rip it out of the bulletin and tear it into pieces? That would be showing them dishonor, wouldn't it? There's a great difference between honor and dishonor. We rightly honor our nation's veterans, those who have sacrificed for the well-being of our country. But as Christians, we even more rightly honor our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not seek his own glory because God the Father sought that glory. He is a judge. We honor the one who has given us his word. We honor the one who enables us through his gospel to keep his word. We honor the one who has promised us that through keeping his word, his gospel of forgiveness, we will never see death. Again, in today's gospel reading, we see an example of dishonor. The Jews said to Jesus when he said this, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death.' Are you claiming to be greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Here's who Jesus makes himself out to be. The one who knows God. If he said he didn't know God, he would be a liar, just as those Jews who dishonored Jesus were liars when they claimed to know the one true God who sent his only begotten Son into the flesh in our world to be the Savior of the world. Here's who Jesus claims to be. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham saw Jesus' day when the Lord appeared to him and promised him that Abraham would have a son, and in this son all nations of the world would be blessed. Abraham saw God and rejoiced when the Lord God later appeared to him and said that Abraham would have a son, Isaac. And to Isaac's son, God would give an everlasting kingdom. And that son is our Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham rejoiced and honored God when he said, when he was told by the Lord God, who appeared to him in the theophany of the three men, that yes, in a year, Sarah was going to have this promised son. Abraham rejoiced and was glad to see Jesus' day when he was told by the Lord to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. And he was ready to perform the sacrifice. He had lifted the knife when the angel of the Lord said, "Don't do it." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram tangled in the thicket who would be sacrificed on Isaac's behalf, the figure of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have seen him. You rejoice and are glad. You may not have seen him with your eyes, but you hear his saving word of forgiveness. You knew him, came to know the triune God in your baptism. You interact with him as you eat and drink his body and blood in the holy sacrament for the forgiveness of sins. This one true God knows you. He has adopted you into his family. He has adopted each one of you. And in this fellowship with the triune God, we live together as one family in Christ. And finally, here's the claim Jesus makes about himself in today's gospel. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, before Abraham ever existed, I am. I am, the name by which the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Yahweh, the Lord. Here Jesus is saying that he is the Lord, that he is the Lord God, and the Jews recognize his claim even though they don't believe it, because they pick up stones to throw at him, to stone him to death, thinking him guilty of blasphemy. We know the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, only through the second person of the Godhead, who assumed our human nature and took it upon himself. This is the Christian faith. Read through the Athanasian Creed again. Jesus is not optional. You cannot speak of a generic God and be faithful to your baptism. You cannot trust in a generic God and be saved. It is only through the triune God, the Lord God, who reveals himself in Christ Jesus, the Lord God who gave his Son to die on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, the one who sends his Holy Spirit to recreate a fallen world, to make you a new creation through your baptism into Christ. It is only through this God that you are saved. Trust in him. In a world of false gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the only God there is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.